And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X-1.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's 12:36 on a Sunday morning. We're already, it's already Sunday, Aleph.
I know. It's hard to believe.
We're a little late because of hockey. Blackhawks hockey, they won. Hockey, is that the game with ice and
I
sticks and a little round thing?
There are sticks involved.
Things.
I know that.
A flat round thing, I think. Yeah, they won. That's what I've been hearing. Roger was doing cartwheels upstairs in the hallway.
Was.
He was. You should have seen. I mean, I thought he was trying out for the Olympics.
Well, I already did that.
How come I? How did I miss that? Where was I?
That was quite something. Roger's very happy, and I'm sure most of the Chicagoland's very happy that the Blackhawks won. No Lisa Wolf tonight. Her dog ate her car keys.
What?
Yeah. That's what she said, at least.
She's going to have a serious project soon.
She's
going to
have
a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get those keys back.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving on this edition. Plus, tonight, when Lisa and I are back here at 11 p.m., we'll have more Thanksgiving programming. And then Lisa and I will be on the air on Thanksgiving night from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. So a lot of Thanksgiving programming.
I'll be with you, too, from 10 to 11.
Oh, that's great. Terrific,
and
Roger.
We'll be doing traffic.
We'll have a turkey leg together. How's that?
That sounds good. I'll be here.
Good.
I'll be the turkey.
Very cool. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
All right, so what we're going to do on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, which is 131 in the series, by the way, we are not going to play Our Miss Brooks or the Harold Perry Show. We had two Thanksgiving shows lined up there. But we will play Suspense, The Screaming Woman, with Margaret O'Brien. I don't want you to miss that. A terrific show. And prior to that, in this half hour, all the way to 1 o'clock, we will play a quarter hour comedy of Vic and Sade from 1941. It's called Humiliated on Thanksgiving with Art Van Harvey and Bernadine Flynn, along with Billy Idelson. That's coming your way right here on the WGN Radio Theater after this quick break. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. We're absent of Lisa Wolf on this edition. She's home. She's probably listening to the show and rubbing Simba's tummy because he ate her car keys. That's why she couldn't get here tonight. Do you believe that excuse, Aleph?
I do. Something like that
it?
Would happen to Lisa.
I have a bridge that I would love to sell you. Just $6 million for the bridge.
Good one.
Yeah.
So we
have Aleph Garris, our producer. She's from Turkey, but she's no turkey when it comes to producing this show. And we have... It's always funny to you, right? I can play that. I can say that every single time, and it's always funny to Aleph.
The thing that makes me laugh so hard is the rim shot.
Is the rim shot. Yeah. Well, that's
like...
why I never go anywhere without this machine here. Everywhere I go, I bring this rim shot machine with me.
One more time for the audience.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a Vic and Sade quarter hour radio program for you now. I know Roger loves Vic and Sade.
I love Vic and Sade.
You know, Vic and Sade, it's like beer or any kind of thing that you have to acquire a taste for, correct?
True.
Vic and Sade, the first time I heard Vic and Sade, and Lum and Abner also, mm-hmm. I was like, what is this all about? Mm-hmm. Right? But the more you listen to this show, especially Vic and Sade, the writing is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Paul Reimer wrote this and created this series. It was on the air from 1932. Till 1946, so on the air a long, long time. And it was just little whimsical family chatting, really all it was Art Van Harvey as Vic and Bernadine Flynn as Sade and their son Rush. Rush Gook, their last name was Gook. They lived in the on Virginia Street in the small town halfway up in the next block. And as I say, not a lot of sound effects. It's just kind of a folksy.
Yeah, kind of like a storytelling version of, like you say, not a lot of sound effects. But,
yeah.
But it was just like sitting in someone's front room and they say, hey, do you remember the time?
Yeah.
And it's just funny in a very laid-back, folksy way.
Yeah, a lot like Garrison Keillor,
yes.
Prairie Home Companion,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
A lot like that. People love that show. So, again, you have to acquire a taste for it. I think you'll love it, though. I know I do. Roger does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Elif has ever heard one, but she's going to hear one right now.
Tonight.
Okay. So here's a quarter hour Thanksgiving program on Vic and Say.
Hello there. Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Say. Vic and Say, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco. Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 8 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook spending a quiet evening at home. Vic lounges on the davenport and gazes dreamily at his shoes. Sade is seated in her husband's easy chair beneath the floor lamp, reading aloud from the newspaper. Listen.
The bride, leaning heavily upon the arm of her father, was radiant in a going-away costume of off-apricot, with stockings and pumps to match, with burnt caramel accessories and a small cloche hat. She carried a bouquet of mixed garden flowers. Out-of-town guests were Cyrus L. Freach of Kansas City, Missouri, a former employer of the groom, Ed and Will Fulper, Lexington, Illinois, Mr. and Mrs. U. O. Dimp and son Walrab of Red Wing, Minnesota, Harry K. Montgomery of West Pittston, Pennsylvania, Mr. and Mrs. Clark Dunlap of Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Lacey of Toronto, Ontario, Cadwallader...
Telephone is again.
One answered.
Probably Ruth is done by
now. No, I'm sure not.
Then let me hazard a guess. It's good old dependable down at the heel, solid concrete foundation, trustworthy Bluetooth Jensen.
Yes.
Hello? Yes? Why, no, he isn't. Who is this? Oh, CD.
Huh?
Bluetooth, Johnson.
Oh, really?
Good old sweeter than the flowers in May. It matters not who won or lost or how you played the game. Reliable Bluetooth, Johnson.
You better talk to him, hadn't you? Otherwise he'll hang up.
Bluetooth? How are you, Bluetooth? Glad to hear it. No, Rush ducked out someplace right after supper. Any message I can give him? Oh? Vernon Pagels is out in the lead? Okay. I see. Tomorrow he's going to buy his second United States defense bond, huh? And that puts him away ahead of the rest of you guys. Uh-huh. Okay, Bluetooth. You bet. Goodbye. Where is Buttonhook, by the way?
I haven't any idea. He walked out the kitchen door as soon as he finished wiping the dishes. He can't have gone very far or planned to stay away very long. Otherwise, he'd have said something.
Mm.
Cadwallader J. Urquhart of Twillman, Oklahoma.
Oh, what's this?
Still reading what the paper states about the wedding.
Oh.
Cadwallader J. Urquhart of Twillman, Oklahoma. Martha, Esther, James, Donald, Arnold, and Eugene Niebel of Indianapolis, Ohio. Mr. and Mrs. R. E. Greep of Cincinnati, Indiana. Mrs. William Yocker and infant daughter Rudolphina Margaret Annabelle Beulah of Fishley, Michigan, and J.U. Epson of O'Brien, Texas, a college classmate of the groom. Quite a turnout, hmm?
Yeah.
Immediately after the ceremony, the guests...
Oh, you're stoned, Bruce. Hi.
Immediately after the ceremony, the guests were served to dainty refreshments at the home of Mr. and Mrs. John H. Weeper, 917 South Center Street. Fun-loving friends of the happy couple painted humorous signs on their motorcycle and decorated the handlebars with old shoes. Since the motorcycle has no sidecar, the newlyweds rode away, one seated behind the other.
Excuse me, people.
Hey,
hey. Kindly forgive the intrusion.
Think no more about it. You live here in the house and are entitled to come and go as you please.
Oh.
Good old True Blue, heart bigger than all outdoors, reliable old Bluetooth Johnson just phoned.
Yeah?
He said Vernon Pagels is going to buy his second United States defense bond tomorrow.
Oh? That puts him out ahead, everybody.
So Bluetooth allowed.
I thought I'd better drop in and tell you something, Mom.
What's that?
Nicer Scott is sitting on his front porch steps.
Pretty cold to be doing that, isn't it?
I'm going over and pasting one upside the snoot.
What's this now?
Once more, Nicer's goaded the human body to the point where civilized flesh and blood can't stand it.
Has he?
He has. Now I'm going next door and wang him one upside the bean. Thought I'd better notify you first.
Maybe you better sit down.
I can't spare the time. Can't take any chances on letting him escape. Any second, he might go in the house.
Sit down.
Human flesh and blood refuses.
Listen, Willie, I'm good and tired of every little while having to go over and over this business.
Remember tonight at supper? Nicer coming in our kitchen and being nice as pie and obliging as a horse?
I remember.
Axle grease wouldn't melt in his mouth, would it? He was a fine gentleman with the slick manners, wasn't he?
Well, he was certainly
well, every second he was in our house, he was casting around his eyes.
What do you mean by that?
He was looking for stuff.
Looking for stuff?
Looking for stuff to pin on me.
I haven't the slightest notion
what... he found some stuff to pin on me. What time did we eat supper?
Rush, will you kindly...
6 o'clock, wasn't it? 6 o'clock or a few minutes past? Okay. Well, by 7:30, he'd been all over town with his meanness.
I think...
Strolled up to the corner of Kelsey and Virginia. Smelly Clark, Willis Roarback, and Leland Richards were sitting under the streetlight. When they saw me, they let out a screech. Mom, in less than an hour and a half, Nicer Scott had made me an object of ridicule before the human race.
You ask him what he's talking about.
What you talking about?
It's my knife and fork.
Knife and fork?
Yeah.
I think the weather's done something to the child.
What about your knife and fork?
When Nicer was in the kitchen the night during supper, he spotted my knife and fork.
Vinegar cruet, old cider soap. Papa's completely in the dark.
Your little knife and fork?
My little knife and fork.
You have the key to this mystery?
You know his little knife and fork he eats with.
I eat with him because you put him beside my plate.
I always put him beside your plate. Never heard you complain.
I never complained because it never occurred to me a snake in the grass like Nicer Scott would use him against me.
What did Nicer tell the boys?
He told them, Rush Gook eats with a knife and fork a third the size of regular knives and forks. Rush Gook eats with a knife and fork where there's angels engraved all over and darling baby printed on the back.
Why, that little Dickens.
He spread it all over town. And the miserable object of public ridicule.
Beth gave him that knife and fork when he was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't really baby things. They're smaller than regular knives and forks, but not any two-thirds smaller. Person would have to look twice to tell the difference.
Nicer Scott looked twice. In fact, he must have stood there studying the half-wit knife and fork. He told the guys about the angels engraved all over. Told them about darling baby printed on the back.
Well, I expect he did make it sound funny to the kids. A monstrous, great, big, grown-up high school gentleman, 14 years old, using sweet, dainty little knives.
He's made it sound funny, and he's had his fun. Now I'm going over and smash his head.
Oh, no, you're not.
You suggest I leave him get away with this?
I suggest you sit still.
Right this minute, he's seated on his bottom front porch step. Wouldn't take me 4 seconds to step over and paste him one upside the snoot.
Well, you're not going to do it.
Imagine. Come over to our house this evening while we were eating supper. It was all friendship and soft talk and high-class manners. Been a warm day, Miss Gook. You're looking well, Mr. Gook. I see you enjoy jelly on your bread, Rush. And all the time, his eye was roving around. He spotted my little knife and fork with the angels on it and darling baby printed on the back. He got the details well in mind. Then he excused himself and went outdoors and ran like the dickens all over town to spread the news. Well, you should have heard the screaming and yelling when I showed up at the corner of Kelsey and Virginia. On a kind of Nicer Scott polite visit this evening, I am now a miserable object of public ridicule.
Oh, I doubt if it's that bad.
It is that bad. I'm going over and punch his dim-witted jaw.
I say you're not. Now, listen, Rush, we've been through this business again and again and again, and you ought to understand by now I don't intend to take chances on being on the outs with next-door neighbors. Kids' quarrels is one thing, and grown-up quarrels is another.
Telephone to you.
Probably somebody calling up to Josh.
Well, answer it. You're right there.
Gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was good old trustworthy love me, love my dog, Mary is a grand old name, reliable Bluetooth Johnson again.
Hello? Oh, hello, Leroy. Leroy Snow. Mm-hmm. What is your business, Leroy? Will you repeat your question, please? No, Leroy, I do not wear a baby bonnet when I go to bed. No, and I don't wear bibs or booties either. Was that all, Leroy? Very well, Leroy. Not at all, Leroy. Anytime, Leroy. Only too happy, Leroy. Certainly, Leroy. Depend upon it, Leroy. Now allow me to bid you goodbye, Leroy. Goodbye, Leroy.
See? They're just having a little fun at your expense, sir.
I'll smash Nicer Scott's chin.
Of course, she'll do nothing of the kind.
Pete, allow me to tell you a little story about Benjamin Franklin and what he said to his manservant while flying a kite near the city of Philadelphia early in the year 1820. It just so happened this man, servant's name was Charlie, and there was nothing he liked better than bread with sugar on it. Well, sir, according to history, Benjamin Franklin...
Cell phone's ringing.
Oh, so it is, by George. If it could only be good old brown as a berry, even Stephen dependent of Bluetooth Johnson.
Hello? Oh, yes, Milton. Milton Welch. What brings you to the telephone, Milton? Hope you didn't disturb me while I was sitting on my father's knee while he sung me to sleep, huh? Not at all, Milton. I assure you, I wasn't sitting on my father's knee being sung sleep. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You bet. Well, just awful nice of you to call. Yes, indeed. I'll call again sometime, won't you? You bet. Okay, Milton. Sure thing, Milton. Goodbye, Milton. Wonderful stuff, huh? I will step next door and fix Nicer Scott good.
No, you won't. Goodness, talk about making a camel's back out of a molehill. Now, what do you care? It is kind of halfway comical, a big 14-year-old high school gentleman using a dainty little knife and fork with darling baby on it to eat his supper with.
Is it kind of halfway comical a baboon like Nicer Scott had enter my private home like a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Well, sure, you'd probably have done the same thing. I bet if you caught Heine Call across the street eating his supper with a little knife and fork like yours, you'd...
Yeah, tell us what it's to you.
I'll get it.
Always something, huh?
Hello? Yes? Who? I seem to recognize the voice, but I can't quite place it. Mildred? Mildred who, please? Risdell? Fisdell? Bisdell? T like in time off? Oh, Tisdell. Oh, sure, I recollect you now. Mildred Tisdell, isn't it?
Hey,
hey. Hey, is right.
What is your business, Hildred? I mean Mildred. Do I feed myself with my little knife and fork, or do my parents do it? Why, I feed myself, Mildred. Yes. Not at all, and thanks for calling. Certainly. Certainly. Goodbye, Miss Ricedale, or whatever it is. Ah, yes, Gisdell. Goodbye, Miss Gisdell. See, even the girls.
You lead a miserable life.
I'll go next door and lop Nicer Scott's ears down around his chin.
I don't think you will. Listen, you can explain to your friends it was your mother's fault. It is, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought of that little engraved knife and fork as being what Rush uses to eat with. Year after year, ever since he started eating with knives and forks, I've put them beside his plate. And like I say, they're not actually baby things. They're almost as big as regular knives and forks. When I set the table, I invariably get them out of the drawer and put them beside Willie's plate. It's never crossed my mind I had a grown-up 14-year-old man for a son and was giving him knives and forks covered over with angels and marked darling baby. Silly, huh? Oh, forgive me, Ashtray.
Oh, it's okay, I guess.
Is it?
Sure.
Begin to see the comical side, huh?
Yeah.
But where are you going?
Upstairs.
Read a nice book? Well, that's fine. I'll put your little knife and fork away in the buffet someplace.
Okay.
Stuff happens, don't it?
Yeah.
Stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Where was I here in my newspaper piece?
Mm-hmm.
Why, say, I left out a whole paragraph.
Did you?
List of names.
Mm-hmm.
Out of towners.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. and Mrs. David Yasher and sons Chauncey and Beef of Pittsburgh, Iowa. Dwight K. Pratt, Jr., Mulish, Vermont. Sydney, Lila, Hobart, Gus, Vivian, Grace, Howard, and Stungle, Houch, Dismal Seepage, Ohio. And Miller Y. Miller of Itcher, Montana. A real turnout, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after the ceremony, the guests were served a dainty refreshment at the home of Mr. and Mrs. John H. Weeper, 917 South Center Street. Fun-loving friends of the happy young couple painted humorous signs on their motorcycle and decorated the handlebars with old shoes. Since the motorcycle has no sidecar, the newlyweds rode away, one seated behind the other.
Well, seems like there's always something doing at that small house halfway up in the next block. So be sure to come along when we visit Vic and Sade to the next time. This is Ed Hurley speaking. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
That was little old me, Ed Herlihy, doing the announcing on that. November 20th, 1941, for Humiliated on Thanksgiving, Vic and Say. Let's take a quick break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. 1:07 in the morning. Thank you, Roger. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We have an abbreviated version of the show because the Hawks were playing, and they won, so that's good. Elif Garris is here. She's my producer. No Lisa Wolf. She is home taking care of Simba because Simba ate her car keys. It happens, you know. It happens every once in a while. It happens 4 or 5 times a year. Your dog eats your car keys, and you can't make it into work, right?
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens to me a lot. Actually, what happens with me is that I just... I eat my own keys.
Oh, you eat your own keys.
Yeah.
Well, that's could be a problem.
That's an issue.
You have to drink castor oil then.
Yeah, that's what I always do.
Get it out of there. So listen, in this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, it's suspense. One of the best suspense episodes you'll ever hear. It's a Thanksgiving show written by Ray Bradbury, starring Margaret O'Brien, from 1948, called The Screaming Woman. That's coming your way. Just a few minutes. All this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
We're going to play a clip of an actress's voice. I'll give you a hint. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And Vanna White, what do they win?
They will win a certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white micro lights from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
All right, you got to pick it up. Oh, no, it's a gift card, right? Then you pick up your prize over on Pepper Road, right?
Yes, in Lake Barrington.
Lake Barrington, as they say on the commercial. 312-981-7200. This actress was the star of Bridesmaids.
I'm excited, and I feel relaxed, and I'm ready to party with the best of them.
All right, if you know who that is, call us, 312-981-7200. You'll win what Vanna White said. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Let's play that movie clip again.
I'm excited, and I feel relaxed, and I'm ready to party with the best of them.
All right, we have Deb from Crystal Lake on the line. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you ready to party?
Love that movie.
It is a funny, funny movie. The
really?
Bridesmaids. And do you know who this actress is?
Kristen Wiig.
You are right, 100%. And you win, what is it again?
A certificate for a desktop sports-themed artificial Christmas tree of your choice with white microlights from Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington.
What do you think of that, Deb?
I hope I can get a Cubs one.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah.
Or you can go to treetime.com.
Yeah, you can go to treetime.com also. So congratulations. You're a winner. Thanks for listening to the show. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay, Deb, thank you very much. Hey, folks, I want to remind you that we have a new website that we put up. It's called freeradioclassics.com. I've been telling Roger he needs to sign up to this. He's nodding his head up there. He said he will, but I know you haven't because I see who signed up and you haven't signed up.
I know. Hold on a second. You know what I do during the week, though?
I
sleep.
You sleep. You,
and I take care of the kids.
Yeah,
I sleep.
Well,
I take care of the kids.
But guess what? If you sign up, it's absolutely free, and here's what happens.
Yeah.
I send you an email.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can get a little – it could be a little redundant to get an email from me every Monday. But you know what? You get an email every single Monday from me.
It's a great way to start out the week.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
What?
Every single email has a different 30-minute classic radio show link. You click it, and you can download it to any listening device. It's digitally remastered. 1 week you might get Suspense, then the next week Gunsmoke, then The Shadow. And I put pictures of the stars in the show, historical data, the synopsis, who the sponsor was, what the original broadcast date was. This is a present to you from me every Monday, 52 weeks a year, every year. You get 52 classic radio shows just because you're a listener to this radio show. And there's nothing to buy. It's absolutely free. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. We just need your first and last name and your email address. That's all you have to do, and you'll get an email from me every single Monday with a radio show link in there. Not bad, right, Roger?
Not bad. That's exactly what it says on my piece of paper here. It says freeradioclassic.com.
It's classics.
Classics with it. Well, that's why I haven't been able to get.
Free, F-R-E-E, and then Radio Classics.
With an S.
Yeah, .com. That's the website.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, super easy, and we want all of our listeners to do it. You can do it right now, and we will send you, you'll get, Monday, you'll get an email from me with a radio show, and every Monday. Not
That's
bad,
fantastic.
Right?
Fantastic.
All right, it's time for a radio show that you will absolutely love. This is Suspense from November 25th, 1948. It's called The Screaming Woman. It's written by Ray Bradbury, and it stars Margaret O'Brien. Here's part one of a Thanksgiving episode of Suspense.
In just a moment, Autolite presents Suspense, starring Margaret O'Brien.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh.
Why, Hap, Hap, that's not the way to sing hurrah for Thanksgiving Day.
What are you telling me, Harlow Wilcox? Why, I've
no,
sung that
no,
song.
Hap, this is the way it goes today. Over the river and through the woods and never mind the snow. Grandpa's happy with his jalopy, his battery's never low. Over the river and through the woods, blow high, ye winds, blow low. The car's as snappy as Grandma and Pappy with an auto. Autolite Stay Full, you know.
But Harlow,
well,
that's
you
not...
see, Hap, Autolite Stay Full batteries have changed a lot of things today.
Harlow, isn't anything sacred anymore? It's Thanksgiving Day. Let's listen to Margaret O'Brien on Suspense.
And its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Margaret O'Brien in Anton Lieder's production of The Screaming Woman. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I'm Margaret Leary, and I've got to tell you how it happened. It was Thanksgiving Day, and it was nice and sunshiny, almost like summer except cooler. Mama was cooking the turkey, and I was watching. And Mama said to me,
"Good heavens, I forgot. Your Aunt Cynthia's made some cranberry relish for us. Run over and get it, Margaret, so her feelings aren't hurt. And hurry, this turkey's down to a turn."
So I ran to Aunt Cynthia's. And on the way back, I took a shortcut through Mr. Kelly's lot. It's a big lot, more like the side of a hill that slides down to Monument Creek. It's a swell place to play Indians and cowboys, or explorers are hunting for treasures, because trucks dump all kinds of stuff there. Loads of dirt and junk, and even big things like old cars and big pipes and chunks of concrete. Well, this day, coming back from Aunt Cynthia's, I saw that a lot of new junk and dirt had been dumped there since Saturday. They'd even covered up our swell big concrete pipe that us kids called our fort. Covered it clear up. I was looking around to see where it used to be when, all of a sudden, I stopped and listened. The sound was coming up out of the ground. A woman was buried under the junk and dirt and glass, and she was screaming all wild and horrible for somebody to dig her out. I started to run. I fell down and got up and ran some more. It was an awful, awful long way to our house that day. Mama! Mama!
Margaret?
Mama!
Oh, Margaret, haven't I told you not to slam the door? Is that the relish?
Listen, Mama, there's a screaming woman in the lot.
Wash your hands, Margaret.
She was screaming and screaming and screaming. Mama, listen to me. We've got to dig her out. She's buried under tons and tons of dirt.
I'm sure she can wait till after dinner. Oh, next year, I swear I'm going to buy a bigger platter.
Mama, don't you believe me? You've got to believe me.
Margaret, I've got a million things to do. Good gosh, look at you. How'd you get your knees so dirty?
Well, when he backs in the lot,
Never mind. Scoot and tell your dad we're about to eat. He's in the front room reading his paper.
Yes, Mama. Daddy! Oh, Daddy, I've got to tell you something.
Getting hungry, baby?
Daddy, there's a screaming woman in the lot.
I never knew a woman who didn't. Smell that turkey.
We've got to get picks and shovels and dig her up, like for an Egyptian mummy. Oh, Daddy!
Well, I don't feel much like an archaeologist today, Margaret. I can't think of anything but food. Let's have an expedition next Sunday and dig her up.
But we can't wait that long. Oh, Daddy, she'll die if we don't do it now. I'll give you some money.
Oh, so it's a business proposition. Well, how much do you pay by the hour?
I've got $5 whole. It took me a year to save.
Come here, Puss. You know I'm touched.
Oh, but Daddy...
You want me to play with you, and you're willing to pay me for my time. Why, dear, you're shaking. Calm down.
Oh, Daddy, please.
After our Thanksgiving dinner, I'll come out and listen to your screaming. Oh, but... How's that?
Oh, no, now, Daddy. Maybe she'll die if you don't come out now. Oh, you've got to come now.
Margaret.
If you believe me, you wouldn't wait. You never believe me. Mama doesn't believe me. Nobody believes me.
Quiet down right this minute. I not only won't go with you, but you'll go to your room and stay in without your Thanksgiving dinner. Now, is that clear?
Yes, sir. It's clear. I always liked Thanksgiving, almost next best to Christmas, but that was an awful one. Dinner was a million years long. Everybody moved so slow, like a slow-motion movie. Forks and knives and spoons moved slow, and Dad's cheek muscles moved slow when he chewed. I'll try to make things faster.
Margaret, you heard your mother now. Don't eat so fast.
But, Daddy, the screaming woman, we've got to hurry.
My dear young lady, this is Thanksgiving dinner, an occasion when we do not hurry. Oh, I intend to eat 4 or 5 helpings of everything until I can't eat any more. Then I'm going to make an extra effort and find room for pumpkin pie, a few walnuts, and stuffed dates.
Oh, please, please, Daddy.
Now, if you pester me any more, if you mention her again, this screaming, what's this, I won't go out with you to hear a recital at all. That understood?
Yes, sir. It's understood. I wanted to yell. Oh, please, rush, get up, run around, come on, hurry. But I had to sit still, while out there in the lot with the sun shining down, all alone with nobody to hear or to help her, was the screaming woman. I could hear in my mind screaming. Mom and Daddy couldn't hear. They just kept on eating and talking.
Well... Now that I can be thankful for a full stomach, I guess we should consider what other things we have to be thankful for,
Well, we're all healthy. Prices are sky high, but we're not in debt. Yet.
Those are mundane things, my dear. I'm thankful for my big daughter. Right, Puss?
Yes, Dad.
And for my loving wife, who is still the most romantic woman I know.
Oh, silly.
I'm thankful I didn't marry somebody else.
You nearly married Dora Lampell. Even gave her a ring.
No, I never meant a thing. No one... No. You're the only one who's been the serious competitor since we were all kids.
Oh?
There's only one. One Ooh. Other. Helen Nesbitt.
Oh!
Yeah, Helen was my first love. When she was about as old as Margaret, I gave her a present one Christmas, and she gave me one. I still have it.
Oh, that paperweight on your desk.
Mm-hmm. Funny how we hang on to things that were important when we were kids.
Daddy.
Just a little longer, boys. Warm up my coffee, will you, dear?
You know what I'm thankful for, dear? Seriously. That we stayed here in this same town where we grew up. Here you are, dear.
Thank you.
The same friends. Even the same street. It's been a peaceful life. Not very exciting, but...
Daddy!
Margaret finds it pretty exciting.
Yes. You better take her out to the lot before she collapses.
All right.
right now, where is your screaming woman? Lead me to her.
Over here, where our fort used to be.
Fort?
The big concrete pipe. It's all covered up now.
Kelly's really getting this lot filled in. All right, where's the lady?
Right about here, Daddy. Listen.
Don't hear a thing, except the wind. Better button up your sweater, Puss.
Shh. Listen.
Well, that's the trolley over on Aspen Street.
Hey there, screaming woman. Hey!
Looks like the Dolans are starting out for a drive. Well, I guess your screaming woman's let you down, Puss.
But she was here, Daddy. Right under here where they dumped all this dirt. I heard her screaming and screaming like she was underneath the fort. Somebody's dumped tons and tons right on top of our fort.
Yeah, too bad they buried your fort, Margaret. I saw two of Kelly's big trucks back in here last evening. There was a dump truck in here this morning, too.
It isn't because they covered the fort.
It must be your screaming woman doesn't like grown-ups. Only delivers her solo for kids, I guess.
Maybe she can't scream anymore.
Well, I'm going back and take a nap. Let my dinner settle.
Well, aren't you going to help me dig?
Now, listen, my dear. Don't you think this is a sort of a silly game?
But it's not a game.
Now, don't stay too long, dear. Mama probably likes some help with those dishes.
Daddy! Daddy! I know I heard her scream. I know it. Oh, darn, darn, darn. You're there. You're still there. Hey, screaming woman. Oh, why did you scream before? Why didn't you scream so Daddy could hear you? Don't just scream for me. I can't help you all by myself. Daddy, where are you?
Upstairs, Margaret.
Here I am. Daddy, she's screaming again. Right after you left, she started to scream. You've got to come back.
Whoa, there now. Come here. Let me feel your head.
Please, Dad.
Why, you've got a fever. You're going to lie down, young lady.
We can't leave her down there, Dad. We just can't.
Come on along. Come on into your room. That's right.
It's awful, Dad. It's awful for her to be screaming and nobody listening. Nobody, Gary.
Lie down, folks. Lie down. Now, come on.
She'll choke where there isn't any more air and she'll die.
Now, you're going to lie down the rest of the afternoon before you make yourself sick.
No, I've got to dig. I've got to dig her up.
It's all those comic books you read. Now, I forbid you to leave the house. Close your eyes now and take a nap. That's my good girl.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Miss Margaret O'Brien in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Terrific performance by Margaret O'Brien in this episode of Suspense, written by Ray Bradbury, the screaming woman, and actually the woman that's buried there is being portrayed by Agnes Moorehead, who was in Dora on Bewitched. That's a broadcast from November 25th, 1948. We'll get back to Suspense in just a few minutes. You're listening to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a quick break. Folks, I've set up a website that I think you're going to love at freeradioclassics.com. As a thank you for listening to this show, you can receive a free classic radio show every week, 52 weeks a year, every year. Simply log on to freeradioclassics.com. Enter your first and last name and your email address. That's all you have to do. And every Monday, I will send you an email that contains a link to listen to and collect a free old-time radio show via digital download. One week, it may be Gunsmoke. The next, it may be Jack Benny. The next week, it's Suspense and so on. Plus, every old-time radio show is digitally remastered for superb sound quality and will include detailed historical information, synopsis, cast members, and a photo of the star. This is a free service to you as a thank you for being a listener to this show. And you can unsubscribe anytime you like. If you enjoy listening to and collecting old-time radio shows in superb sound quality, sign up to freeradioclassics.com. Subscribe today and you'll receive your first email from me this coming Monday and every Monday, containing your free old-time radio show. I was dancing the whole time that you had that on.
Did you see me? You were doing the
Yeah, the Batman dance with my fingers up by my eyes. And
you did the little...
Yeah,
the
John Travolta pointing down to the floor and then up to the ceiling.
You even did a moonwalk with that paper in your hand. That was...
I think
seamless.
Roger signed up to freeradioclassics.com.
Look at that.
I think he did.
I remembered the S.
You're going to love it, Roger.
For savings.
Because I know you love classic radio.
You got that right.
All right, so it's time to get back to this episode of Suspense. I love this show. Let's go back to November 25th, 1948. The conclusion now to Margaret O'Brien in The Screaming Woman on Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Miss Margaret O'Brien as Margaret in The Screaming Woman, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
After a while, I stopped crying. I had to get back to the lot where that woman was screaming, but I was locked in. I tied a sheet to the bed and let it out the window and shinnied down to the ground. Then I ran to the garage and got shovels and ran to the empty lot. The sun was almost down and it was getting cold. I started to dig fast.
Hiya, Maggie.
It was Dippy Smith, who was 10 years old, the same as me. He goes to my school.
What you digging for?
For a screaming woman. She's down in the ground and I'm going to dig her up. You can help me dig, Dippy. There's an extra shovel.
I don't hear nothing. I don't dig unless I hear a scream.
Then listen.
I don't hear nothing.
Just wait. You will. There. Did you hear it?
Hey, that's okay. Do it again.
Do what again?
A scream. Do it again. Go on. I'll give you this Aggie to teach me to do it. Hot dog, did you get that ventriloquist book for a dime from that magic company? You got one of those tin things in your mouth?
I won't tell unless you help me dig.
Okay, swell. Give me the shovel. Hot dog.
And you got to dig fast. Like this, Dippy.
Boy, you think she was right under our feet. You're wonderful, Maggie. Say, what's the screaming woman's name? You must have made her up a name.
Oh, sure. Her name is Wilma Schwager, and she's a rich old lady, 160 years old, and she was buried by a crook named Spike. Come on, Dippy, dig. Keep digging. We can't stop, Dippy.
Oh, I'm tired. I think I'll go home.
Dippy, stop. You can't. There really is a woman buried here.
Well, sure. You said so, Maggie.
Oh, don't you believe me? I wasn't throwing my voice. Come back, Dippy.
Okay, but I'm getting tired of digging.
Now, look, Dippy. I'll go way over here, and then you listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Hey, there really is a woman here.
That's what I told you.
Well, come on, let's dig. How's she breathing, do you think?
I think she's in the fort, remember?
Sure. That's where she must be. 5 or 6 of us kids could get in it so it's big enough. I sure hope it isn't just a radio or something.
Well, a radio would be nice, too.
Here, what do you kids think you're doing?
Oh, hello, Mr. Kelly.
I'm tired of chasing you out of this lot. If one of you gets hurted, maybe your folks would sue me.
But, Mr. Kelly, there's a woman screaming.
You kids beat it. Do you hear?
Yes, sir.
But listen, Mr. Kelly, don't you hear her? There.
I don't hear a thing, and neither do you. Now beat it.
Come on, Maggie.
Mr. Kelly, somebody's got to dig her up.
Don't argue with me or I'll phone your folks. This is my property. Do I have to put up a fence? Why should I spend money to keep people off my own property?
Dippy, it's him. He's the one.
Huh?
He murdered Mrs. Kelly. He hit her on the head and stuck her in the fort and dumped loads of dirt on top. But she wasn't dead. She came too. Why, you saw him. He stood right there when she screamed and wouldn't pay any attention.
Hey, that's right. He stood right there and lied to us. What'll we do, Maggie?
There's only one thing to do. We'll phone the police and tell them to come and arrest Mr. Kelly.
Oh.
They sure got here fast, Maggie. Shh. Don't make a sound. Is Mr. Kelly in the house? Yes, he went right home from the lot.
Yes, officer.
You, Mr. Kelly?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Is Mrs. Kelly at home this evening?
Why, sure.
Can I see her, sir?
Why, sure. Hey, Anna. What's up?
We got a call. Oh, well, good evening, ma'am.
What is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, folks. We got a call that Mrs. Kelly was buried alive in an empty lot. Sounded like some kid calling, but we had to make sure. We always check, you know.
Well, I can't understand.
It's those blasted kids. If I ever catch them, I'll break their necks.
Maggie, cheese it. Boy, if Mr. Kelly telephones my dad, I'll get a licking. What'll we do about the screaming woman?
What the heck with her? I'm not going near that lot again.
Wait, Dippy.
Huh?
I know why he didn't hear the screams. Kelly's sort of deaf. Mama says he's hard of hearing.
He heard us, didn't he? He heard the cop.
He reads people's lips, but he couldn't hear the screaming woman because he couldn't see her. Dippy, come on. We gotta dig some more.
No, sir.
But we've got to.
We're already in a peck of trouble over your darn old ventriloquist voice. I'm not going to get in any more trouble. No, sir.
And he went off and left me alone. I wanted to crawl down under the ground with the screaming woman and die, too. It was dark now, and Dad would be hunting for me. If he found me, I'd get a licking and be put to bed. And then nobody would help the screaming woman at all. There was only one last thing to do. So I did it. To go all over the neighborhood from house to house and find out who's missing.
Why, hello, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Griswold. Is anybody missing from your house? Is your sister from Detroit still here?
Yes, she's sitting right over there by the radio. Don't you see her? Little Margaret Leary wants...
No, I only wanted to see her, Mrs. Griswold. I was just wondering. I just wanted to know if she was here. Hello, Mrs. Pikes. You're looking good. I'm glad to see you're at home, Mrs. Pikes. I'm awful glad. Mr. Hyde, is your wife still here?
Dora, aren't you out pretty late, Margaret?
Yes. Oh, hello, Mrs. Hyde.
What is it, Margaret?
I just wanted to see you, Mrs. Hyde. That's all. The hours were just rolling along, and I rang bells and knocked, and I rang bells. I was about to give up when I came to the Nesbitt's house. The house was quiet like nobody was at home, but I saw a dim, spooky light inside somewhere. So I just kept knocking and knocking. Oh!
What do you want?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Nesbitt. I only wanted to see Mrs. Nesbitt.
She's not here. She's gone to the store.
At night? Besides, it's closed today, I think.
The drugstore down on Clark Street.
Oh, well, then she ought to be back pretty quick. I'll come in and wait.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'll just sit down here and wait. I sure like this rocking chair. Go right ahead and do whatever you were doing, Mr. Nesbitt.
I wasn't doing anything.
Oh, looks like you were packing or something with all those boxes and trunks around. Going away?
No, Helen's been sorting things out, getting rid of a lot of stuff.
Oh, burning it up in the fireplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Dad always burns our junk out in the alley. Clothes smell awful when they burn.
Look, Helen may have gone on from the store to visit a friend.
Well, if she doesn't come back soon, I'll leave.
Yeah, I'll tell her you were here. What do you want to see her about?
Oh, nothing much. Hey, that's too bad.
What?
I guess you lost the key to that box. You had to break the lock.
No, it was broken already. Yeah, I bet your folks don't know where you are, kid.
No, sir. They think I'm in bed. What friend did Mrs. Nesbitt go to visit?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, hey, look, kid, I ought to tell you, she won't be back tonight.
Oh?
No. She went to the store, like I said, but she was going from there over to Beechwood to visit her mother on a bus. She'd be gone 2 or 3 days.
Oh, that's a shame.
Why?
Well, Mama was expecting Mrs. Nesbitt to come over tomorrow. Maybe to sell.
Hey, you better not tell your mother. You see, it's kind of secret about Helen going away. She doesn't want people to know for a while.
Oh.
You know how to keep a secret, kid?
I guess so.
I'll give you something for not telling. I'll give you a reward. Let's see. Hey, here's something for a kid. A doll.
A doll?
Yeah. Well, Helen was going to give it to you. I heard her say when she was sorting the stuff, she said, I'll give this to the little Leary girl.
Mrs. Nesbitt always calls me Margaret.
Well, sure, that's what she said. Margaret. That's quite a doll. Old-fashioned. It's made of leather. Face is china or something, see?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Nesbitt.
It's a reward for not saying anything about Helen being gone. Understand? Now, come on. I'll snap on the porch light.
Mr. Nesbitt, did you finish your driveway?
What do you mean?
Did you get all the dirt hauled off to make it smooth?
Sure. Now, come on.
I saw your dump truck in the lot this morning and...
What do you mean? Were you in the lot this morning?
No, I was at home. I looked out the window. Please, Mr. Nesbitt, let go of my arm.
You've been playing out there today? Answer me.
Oh, don't. That hurts. I wasn't playing. It's no fun now with our fort all covered up.
The fort? What's that?
Nothing. Nothing, Mr. Nesbitt.
Tell me what you're talking about.
Nothing but that old concrete pipe.
You know something. That's why you came here. You've been snooping around that lot and you found out something. What do you know?
I don't know anything. Let me go, Mr. Nesbitt. If you don't let me go, I'll...
There! Come back! Hey, you come back, kid. I'll give you something else. I'll give you something else. Come back, kid. Come back.
Mr. Nesbitt yelled because I kicked and bit his hand. Then I ran, but I heard him running after me. It was dark and quiet and scary on the streets, and more scary out there in the lot. I ran straight across the place where I heard the screaming, and it was so quiet. And all of a sudden, there was a man in the lot, right in front of me.
Stop, Margaret.
Oh.
Margaret?
Oh, Daddy.
Margaret, where have you been? Do you have any idea how your mama's worried? Do you know how late it is?
Daddy, he's after me.
We've been Mr. up Nesbitt. And down alleys and clear down to Clark Street. I was about to call the police.
The screaming woman. It's Mrs. Nesbitt down there.
I'm going to give you a good licking.
Mr. Nesbitt killed her, and now he wants to kill me.
I've had all of that idiotic talk I can stand.
It's true. You've got to be.
Margaret, I'm going to lick you right now, right here. I've had enough of... What have you got there? Where did you get that doll? Why, I gave it to Leary. The kid stopped by the house. I remembered... Helen said she wanted to throw it away. Helen said to throw it away?
He's lying, Dad. He gave it to me so I wouldn't tell about her. It was locked up in a box. He didn't have the key. He broke it open.
She's a high-strung kid, Leary. All the stuff she was telling me.
He's lying, Dad.
Yes, he is lying. Why are you lying, Charlie?
Lying? How do you get that, Leary?
Helen never let you have that doll. It was locked up. It was a present I gave her a long time ago. She wouldn't throw it away anymore, and I'd throw away the paperweight she gave me. Why are you lying, Charlie?
I'm not. Don't look at me that way, Leary. As God is my witness, I...
It's her. Dad, it's the screaming woman.
As God is your witness.
Leary, don't!
Margaret, run to the house. Phone the police and tell them to hurry. Tell them we've got to dig.
Hello? Hi, Dippy. Everything's fine. Everything's worked out keen. The screaming woman isn't screaming anymore. And they've got a lot of people down there digging her up.
Hey, that's swell. Hot dog.
And you know what else, Dippy? They're going to uncover our fort again. Oh, Dippy, wasn't it a keen Thanksgiving?
Thank you, Margaret O'Brien, for a splendid performance.
It's been just wonderful being on Suspense, and I hope you'll let me come back again sometime.
We will, Margaret. And now let me tell our listeners about next week. Claude Rains and Vincent Price in the famous mystery story,
The Hands of Mr. Ottermole. Another gripping study in suspense.
Margaret O'Brien appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture The Three Musketeers, starring Lana Turner, Gene Kelly, and June Allison. Tonight's suspense play was by Ray Bradbury, adapted for radio by Sylvia Richards, with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Rosalind Russell, James Cagney, Ronald Coleman, William Bendix, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Claude Rains and Vincent Price in The Hands of Mr. Ottermole.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show, signing off. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense. One of the best episodes from the series, in my opinion. Margaret O'Brien starring in The Screaming Woman. And in that cast, you heard Agnes Moorehead as The Screaming Woman. And also, you heard Paul Frees as the announcer. And Lorraine Tuttle, John McIntyre played her dad on that. Ted DeCorsia, good cast, as heard on CBS, sponsored by Autolite from November 25th, 1948. Let's take a quick break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is the WGN Radio Theater. To my right, David Plyer is here
Good morning.
Is going to be on the air in just a few minutes. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. We had a great time at the Radio Hall of
Fame
that was fun. Gala Thursday.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me.
That was fun.
Really
it
had a terrific
legends.
Time.
And you know what's funny is that many years we have, you know, in the beginning that I started attending these 20 years ago, we were still inducting people like Abbott Costello Agnes Moorehead.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've kind of shifted a little bit to some more contemporary personalities. But yeah, it was a great night.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And just some real luminaries there was a lot. It was really cool.
Carl Amari, Dick Dyer were there. Yeah.
It was great to meet Robert Feeder because I've talked to him on the phone many times.
Yep,
and
yep.
It was really great to see him there and
nice
shake
guy.
His hand. Yeah, terrific. So thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's on the show this morning?
What do we have? Well, we'll see if they come. But, you know, this week I'm filling in for Cochran on Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So I'd like to take a little time to myself. So, and I don't know if you know this, Roger, but Kevin Powell and Violetta are going to be filling in for me next week.
The millennials were just up here.
Oh, good. Yes. Oh, good, 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 good. Yeah. So it's going to be three millennials. And Grandpa Banish.
I'm going to be up here hiking Grandpa up my pants saying, why you rap kids get off my radio?
I know. I love that. I love that. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. So they're going to hang out for a little bit this morning so you get a little taste of what that's going to be about. And then what else are we doing? Oh, Kevin Matthews. Kevin's in town, and he's made the rounds on some of the shows on the station. And we had him on a few months ago, but he's going to join us in studio at 2:35. So we're kind of excited about that. Yep. And then Goose Island, this is a big deal. And, Roger, you know I don't, much to your dismay, I don't have a lot of food on the show.
That's all right. I bring my own because I know that.
Well, I just feel like, you know, and I've always felt this way, and it's something Dean taught me a long time ago. People don't like on the radio listening to you eat and drink.
That's true.
It's not entertaining.
Because you're not giving them any.
No, you're not getting any. Exactly. But if there's a story behind it, that's something else. So this Goose Island Bourbon County Stout, they make this beer once a year in bourbon barrels that they buy from, like, the Jim Beams and the Jack Daniels, and it is the most unique-tasting beer. In normal beers, like 4%, this is 16%, I think, alcohol.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's a big deal. And on Black Friday, there's tens of thousands of people that wait in line to buy their three or four bottles. And so it's really a cool story. So we're going to have the people from Goose Island in, and then Kenny Aronoff is Rolling Stone calls him like one of the greatest drummers of all time, and he has played with the likes of the Stones, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Springsteen, John Cougar Mellencamp, Melissa Etheridge. The list goes on.
Wow.
And he just wrote a book and has some fascinating stories. We're going to do that. I think we might have some bang bang pie at the end of the show, Roger. So because it's Thanksgiving, we have to talk a little pie. So, you know, we're going to talk about, because he's got a great little shop, Michael does, in Ravenswood and Logan Square. So we're going to talk to him. And all kinds of good stuff. So that's the show. What do you got coming on tonight?
When Lisa and I come back, what we're going to do is not play the Aldridge family, because people were saying, you didn't play Our Miss Brooks tonight because, you know, we had a short show because of the Hawks. Oh. So we're going to play a Thanksgiving episode with of Our Miss Brooks.
Okay.
And then The Great Gildersleeve and then Father Knows Best. All Thanksgiving shows. And then on Thanksgiving, we're both going to be working on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, because I'm coming. Lisa and I will be on at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11 on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to eat some turkey and then come to the radio
station. Love that. Yeah. Perfect timing.
So stay tuned for David Plyer. He is up next.